Now that the newness of the new year is beginning to wear off, it's time to really get down to business. So let me ask you this. Do you have a clear and inspiring vision for the next 3 to 4 years that will keep your team motivated and can stand the test of time? Let's talk about it. Welcome to Life and Leadership with Kim Williams. I'm the CEO of Interfaith Family Services, a nonprofit that provides housing, help, and hope for families facing homelessness. I'm also the principal of Kim Williams Consulting, a change management firm that empowers nonprofits to change for the better. And I'm the author of Diary of an Insecure CEO, How I Went from Feeling Rejected to Raising Millions. I've led through a variety of organizational issues while raising over $50 million to fight poverty and learning a lot in the process. I created this podcast to share those lessons and help you to successfully navigate life and leadership. So let's get started. Hello, leaders. How is life treating you? My life is productive. I've met with my leadership team. We've reassigned and restructured some things based on my team's 2025 superpower. I am really excited to report that I've maintained my new and improved daily routine and weekly routines, and I've seen an increase in my productivity and my balance. Personally, I've also begun training for a 5K, and I've lost a little weight. So far, so good for 2025. Now, if you've been on track with your goals as well, let me be the first to congratulate you. I want to encourage you to keep going. I also want to let you know that I'm happy for you and I'm proud of you and I'm also praying for you. A lot of times when we get started, we don't get the encouragement that we need or want. So let me be the person who gives that to you. Now, if you've gotten off track, or maybe you haven't even gotten your plan off the ground, I want to encourage you as well. I've been there. It's not too late for you to get started. And let me tell you this, if you start now, your setback will be of little consequence when you reach your goal at the end of the year. So now's the time to start again. There's still time. You can do this. All right. Now, one of the things that's helped me stay on track this year is starting the year with a really clear vision. We've finalized our 2030 strategic plan and we've identified our organization's goals for the next 5 years. This plan provides much needed direction and focus for me as well as my team. We've also talked extensively about the need to be agile and innovative in our approach while remaining committed to our goals. Because listen, we have these goals, but as life has taught us, so much can change. So while we have clear strategy and steps, we've also discussed how we need to be agile and maybe need to be innovative as new issues, technologies, things arise that may cause us to have to adjust our strategies. So, you know what, when it comes to it, I was really hesitant to cast a vision due to uncertainties about the future, as I told you guys before. But, you know, the reason why I was hesitant is because the pandemic coupled with this new administration, like the uncertainty of the pandemic and how that derailed my plans. And then now going into an equally uncertain era with this new administration, it had me really a little reluctant to work on a long-term strategic plan for the next 5 years, which has typically been our custom. However, I knew that the lack of a clear vision and direction was going to be detrimental to our organization's culture and its productivity. Like the Bible says, without a vision, the people perish. So good times, bad times, challenging times, prosperous times, it's important to have a vision. So I began to read as much as I could about the trends and future predictions related to my industry. And then I considered those projections related to like how we would deliver our services. And I began to pray about the future. And through this exercise, I realized that I needed to refine my approach to visioneering, which is what I call vision casting. I got it from Andy Stanley. Visioneering, I revised my approach for visioneering in lieu of what is likely to be an unprecedented and unpredictable time ahead. Today, I want to share my revised approach to creating and casting a vision for the future, particularly in times like these. So let's talk about kind of a new way or a revised way to cast a vision or to visioneer for the times ahead. Let's talk strategy. All right, so let's talk strategy. After considering all the research and projections related to the future of my industry, I was going through several options to present to my leadership team for consideration in terms of vision and goals. Most of what I'd put together were safe plans, and then there were a few aggressive plans, but none felt right. I wasn't excited about any of them, and honestly, I didn't have any peace about it. So I put the plan down for a while and really began to pray for direction. When I picked the plan back up, a process to evaluate it and evaluate the options came to mind. And I'm going to walk you through kind of the five questions that facilitated this process for visioneering or vision casting. Question number one, what is my mission? It all comes back to that. What's your mission? We've got to remember why we do the work. We have to think about the people that we serve and how we serve them. The vision is always going to start with that. So when you think about what you want to do in the future, the first question to ask is it aligned with our mission? Is it aligned with the reason why this organization exists? Is it aligned with the needs of the people that we serve? So that actually eliminated, you know, one or two of the safe plans, even because it wasn't really a variance, but it wasn't a clear alignment. So what is your mission? That's the first question. Then question number two is this: is it still an urgent and substantial need? Why or why not? So when considering your mission, you know, depending on how old your organization is, you have to ask yourself, is this mission still relevant? Is this need that our organization is designed to address, is it still urgent and is it still substantial? If it is, that's great. Why? Ask yourself why. Why is that the case? If it's not, say why not. It's okay to pivot if your mission is outdated. It's absolutely okay. In fact, it's suicide for your organization not to pivot. Sometimes the reason why we initially existed is not the reason why we need to exist today. And it's okay to change your mission. I think it was our 30th anniversary year, we changed our mission at Interfaith from exclusively providing housing for homeless families to providing services that empowered families that are at risk for homelessness. So that way we could move into intervention as much as a move into prevention as much as intervention. And that was important for us to make that shift because we realized that we could do a great job keeping people at their homes at a higher rate and for a much less cost than it would be to house families after they become evicted. So the rest of our core programs were the same in terms of career training, child care services, after school programs. Both families living with us and those that were still residing in their apartments could take advantage of those programs. But it was better for families. It was less expensive. There was more continuous stability when we could utilize our resources to keep families in their home. We could do three times the number of rent assistance to avoid eviction, three times the number of families than we could housing families. And so that made a really big difference in allowing us to expand our impacts by making that revision to our mission. So it's okay to look at your mission and say, is it still relevant? So what's your mission? Is it still urgent? Is it still a substantial need? Why or why not? Question number three is this. Have the root causes or key contributing factors to your core problem changed over the last several years? So this is actually the question that gave me the inspiration for what ended up being our future plan and strategic plan, was this question. Have the root causes or key contributing factors to our core problem for us, it's homelessness or family homelessness, have those root causes changed, merged, gotten bigger? Are there more root causes over the last several years? So it's important for you to look at what has created the problem that you are charged with solving or addressing, what those contributing factors are, and to make sure that your organization is still addressing what are now the root causes or key contributing factors to that issue. So when we started at Interfaith, really wages or the lack of livable wages was one of our top contributing factors to family homelessness. Dallas never really had a high unemployment rate. It was just that the amount that people were making often wasn't enough to live stably. So the focus of our programming then was really increasing wages and to provide people with the skills, certifications, opportunities that they needed to significantly increase their wage. That was one of our key strategies for helping families overcome homelessness. And then during the course of the pandemic, wages increased significantly just because, you know, workers were so difficult to find. And so we saw people getting $2, $3, $4 increases for the same positions as a result of the pandemic. But what also happened was housing costs have since skyrocketed in Dallas. And so we now are addressing the need for affordable housing, and we're having to consider housing cost in our pursuit to stabilize families and how to make sure through debt reduction, again, through elevating wages, through support systems that help identify affordable housing, how to stabilize families in homes they can afford to live in. So that has shifted how we do our work. So looking at contributing factors and saying, how do we need to adjust our processes, our procedures to address the factors that are affecting our clients now is really important. So that's number three. Number four is your organization poised to address those contributing factors and any subsequent factors that are predicted by the experts? So while we're looking at contributing factors today, we also have to look forward into the future and say, if what people are saying could possibly happen with the economy happens, how will that impact our families? If Dallas has the growth that is predicted over the next 5 years, how will that impact our families? How will that impact this issue? So making sure that not only just for today, but for the future, is your organization poised to address future factors that may affect your core client? And if not, make adjustments in programming, strategies, procedures to make sure that you're poised to address those factors as well. So that's number four. Number five, are there any mutual concerns or areas of interest that your core constituent that align with those who support you? So in other words, the people that support us financially, the philanthropists, the families are invested in our city, the quality of life in our city, the growth of our city, the growth of specific industries within our city. At the same time, the growth of those industries, the future projections on the economy are going to impact the things that they're interested in. So how can I align what they're experiencing, what they're hearing about in their companies and in their country clubs in terms of concerns with the concerns and the contributing factors of our clients? How can I merge those things so that they can see the alignment of supporting our organization is also a way to address the concerns that they have, that they're somehow aligned? So how can I align the mutual concerns of our core client with the concerns of those that support them? This is an important question when it comes to messaging your overall vision, messaging your overall campaign, and creating a marketing plan that's going to help you get the resources that you need to do the work. So what are those mutual intersections or mutual areas of concerns between your core constituent or your core client and those that support them? So let's review those five questions one more time that really help the vision casting, visioning process. Number one, what is your mission? Revisit your mission. Number two, is there a substantial or urgent need for that mission today? Or does that mission in some way need to be adjusted or altered? Number three, have the root causes or key contributing factors that have produced the problem you're addressing changed over the last several years? Number four, is your organization poised to address key contributing factors and any subsequent factors that are predicted by the experts? And number five, are there any mutual areas of concerns between your core client and those that support them? These questions and the answers to them should have you well on your way to casting a relevant and inspiring vision for your organization's future. So I really suggest that you explore them, and I am here to help you explore them. I work on strategic plans all the time. I typically do only four strategic plans for organizations in a year just because of my work and personal obligations. So if you're interested in having some help with a strategic plan, get in contact with me and do it soon, because my calendar for 2025 will fill up quickly. But with that being said, if you're doing it on your own, this is a great way to start by answering those five questions and making sure that your goal or your vision can stand the test of those questions. All right, so before we end this podcast, I want to do what I always do and give you some spiritual encouragement. Over the last three episodes, I did my best to remind you that you were created for such a time as this. By now, if you followed along and applied the strategies, you've addressed your fears, you've identified your superpowers, and now you're casting a vision for the future. I know the week ahead may feel scary or uncertain, but I want to remind you of Romans 8 and 31, as well as verse 37 in chapter 8 that says this: "What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things?" When we move forward into this next season, remember, if God is for us, who can be against us? He gave us his very best in giving us his son, Jesus Christ. What is resources for our business? What is protection for our families? What is health? What are these things for him to give? They're much less than the cost of giving his own son. So remember who God is to us and who we are to him. He is a good, good father who loves his children, who wants the best for his children. Jeremiah 29 and 11 says, "I know the plans that I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a hope and a future." I was just telling someone the other day that in this scripture, it could just say, "I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and give you a hope and a future." But the Lord specifically said, "and not to harm you." So that, you know, a lot of times people give God a bad rap. God is punishing you. God is punishing the world. God is judging this and God is doing that. And, you know, I don't ever try to speak for God, particularly in terms of things that he may be doing that I don't understand or that may be painful. But I do refer to Jeremiah 29 and 11 and his promise for me and his promise for his children, that he not only plans to prosper us, but he plans to give us hope and a future. And he also says that he does not want to harm us. So as we move forward in the future, let's move forward in the confidence that we have a God who's on our side, a God who is fighting for us, a God who is standing with us, a God who is protecting us, a God who covers us, who gives us grace to do the things that are challenging for us, mercy when we make mistakes, who loves us unconditionally and always. Let's stand in the confidence of knowing that. And then let's move forward with courage and conviction and faith to make a difference in other people's lives the way he's made a difference in ours. That's the challenge that I'm giving myself, and that's the challenge that I'm giving you. Let's be bold. Let's be courageous. Let's do the work, and let's see God make a big difference in this generation. Let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I come just giving you thanks and praise because you're worthy to be praised. There is truly none like you. You are so faithful. When I look back over my life, when I look back over my leadership journey, I look back over my childhood, I look back over my teen years, my college years, my 20s, my 30s, my 40s, now my 50s, you have been faithful, a constant help, a very present help in the time of trouble. You've given me a life beyond what I could have imagined. And for that, I say thank you. Now, Father God, as we go into this year, help us to give out of the abundance in which you've given us. Help us to remember that we're not new to this, that we're true to this, and you aren't new to this at all. That you know the beginning and the end. That you laugh, the Bible says, at the wicked because you know their end. That none of this is shaking you, so we shouldn't be shook. Father God, give us peace that surpasses all understanding. Give us confidence that comes from knowing you and knowing what your word says about us and our future. Give us power to do the impossible. Give us wisdom to make the right moves at the right time. We are leaning and depending on you. I know I am. It's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by your spirit. And so in this year ahead, let us move by the Spirit. And let us all be prepared to give you all the praise and all the glory for everything you've done and are going to do. In Jesus' name, it is so and so it is. Amen. Today's tips can be found on my website, kimwconsulting.com. Just click the resource tab in the menu. You can also find information about my consulting services and upcoming events, and subscribe to my monthly Life and Leadership newsletter. If you have any questions that you want me to answer on my podcast, message me on Instagram at @leadwithkim. If you found this podcast helpful, please share, rate, and subscribe. Thank you for listening, and remember, change is inevitable, but changing for the better isn't. Change wisely. Thank you.